Always great talking to Susan Slusser of the Chronicle. We saw her Wednesday. It was great to see. She was bringing around a Chronicle intern named Kiki. We had to go through great Kikis, probably, of all time. We led off with Kiki D.
Shout out Kiki Vandaway.
Well, that was also brought up, too. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, Susan on the UMA guest line. Giants White Sox this weekend. Good morning, Susan. How are you?
Hey.
I'm great. Thanks for mentioning our new friend Kiki. She's got a really nice story talking to A's fans about yesterday's big vote about Howard Terminal. So she's doing a very nice. She's a go-getter, man.
First of all, I'm glad the Chronicle still has intern. Second of all, she's doing great. I read her Torkelson piece with the great detail that he has a mural of Oracle Park in his childhood bedroom, and
yeah, I want to see that.
Painted by his preschool teacher. She had that great detail. And Paulie, that one of his first things to do when he got back in town was to get soul food.
Okay. Not a bad choice. Yeah, yeah. Try the chicken and rice. It's really good.
Yeah. So Susan, you had a good story this week on Evan Longoria. Can you tell everybody who didn't read it and urge them to subscribe, of course, to the Chronicle and read it? What did Longoria have to say about his future?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Evan Longoria, kind of quietly the last, you know, week and a half has really been picking up the pace. 3 homers, hitting like 400 in that stretch, and, you know, playing his usual brand of extremely good defense. He's 36, so while we were chatting about, you know, his little kind of upswing here, I said, you know, there's a team option on you for next year if you kind of started thinking about that. And most guys, you know, usually shy away from, I'm not going to think about that till the end of the season kind of stuff. And he was pretty forthright. He's considered maybe stepping back. And he says whatever he does is going to have to make sense for him and his family. It sounded a lot like kind of the decisions Buster Posey was wrestling with last year. Now, he's not as beat up as Buster Posey. He's not playing a position that is as physically demanding. But still, he's 36. And he's had a very nice, long career, done a lot of really good things in the game. Sounds to me, talking to Evan Longoria, like he'd be very happy with what he's accomplished if he does decide this is it, and he's certainly considering it. So, you know, he said some days he comes into the ballpark and he feels like he could play 5 more years. Some days he comes in and he feels like he's 100 and this is it. Mm. And that's going to probably be what it boils down to. But his family's in Arizona. He's got kids that are in school. He never gets to see them during the season. You know, he will next week when they're in Arizona. But, you know, that's pretty far and in between when you got little kids.
Well, obviously it's July 1st, so that's something that'll be decided in October. But just speculating, like when Buster surprised everybody as a retirement, one of the options was, well, Joey Bart is there. It's his time. Now we all know that what's happened there. But if Longoria did walk away, there is no obvious successor. Casey Schmidt is down in Eugene playing well, but that's A-ball.
Yeah, David Villar really got off to a hot start at Sacramento. Really, and you know, he's turned himself into a prospect. The thing is, he's not on the 40-man. He wasn't at big league spring training. He has not been considered a major prospect. He's still not listed among the team's top 30 prospects. He's turned himself into a much better prospect than he's ranked right now. Absolutely. Is he going to jump right into an everyday third base job in the big leagues? Could Wilmer Flores handle it if they re-sign Flores? He's a free agent. You know, could Tommy La Stella handle it now? He's not moving the way he used to. He's never been a defense first guy. And the free agent market is fairly instantial at that position. So do they make a trade for somebody? You know, they're the Giants. They figure stuff out, right? To me, you pick up that team option. Longoria kind of mentors VR, whatever young third baseman you decide you're potentially going to go with, and then you go from there. It's a $13 million option. The buyout is $5 million. So really, when you look at it, you're only paying basically $8 million for a guy who's a very, very good third baseman, a good team leader, great in the clubhouse, really looked up to, and maybe he can give some pointers to some of your younger infielders on his way out.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Yeah, hopefully he wants to keep playing because he is one of the more valuable bats. So, Susan, It's been a bad week. You know, after they split the first two in Atlanta, we were like, okay. And then since then, they dropped the last two, come home, dropped two or three to the Reds, split two with the Tigers. You know, they were 3.5 out a week ago. They're 6 out now. I mean, they're 6.5 out now. I mean, you can kind of nitpick micro, but there seems to be a macro where I think they're 26 and 27 in their last 53. So what are you seeing? What are you seeing missing from this club?
Where do we start? I had lunch last week with a good friend of mine who's in baseball, Major League Baseball, and he said, I don't know what to make of this team. Are they good? Are they bad? Yeah. It's like we're all asking the same questions. I think they're asking the same questions, which, you know, heading toward the trade deadline, you know, that's, they're going to have to figure out what side of the ledger they are on even there. I think you add a piece or two, you really could kind of put yourself back in position for one of those wild card spots. Right now, they're not in one. So you got to say, maybe they're not that good. They aged at some positions. They obviously lost Buster. The offense has been wildly erratic. And, you know, I hate to beat this one to death because we've talked about it all year. The defense is just not what it was. No. And I don't think it's going to be. They just don't have. You know, it's just not a very good defensive club. They've got a couple of guys on that roster right now where he's probably a DH. Yeah, more than one or two of those, you start to have less flexibility, and your defense is going to suffer. They're a pitching-first team. You need to have a really good defense, and they just don't. So, to me, you go out and you look for a guy who can play some good defense at some position and is also going to hit, maybe help that defense out and help that erratic offense out, and maybe two. I don't know. They've got it's a team with a lot of question marks. It really is. I think they're lucky that there's expanded playoffs. They've got a shot. They're probably going to have a shot all year. I think they should go for it because you never know how long your window's going to be. But, they've certainly got their share of flaws.
Are they good? Are they bad? I don't know. That's pretty much sums it up right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll get three more games of evidence against the Chicago White Sox, who are coming in. They have their own problems.
They do.
They have not lived up to their
wins too. Yeah,
they have not lived up to their billing, and they're chanting "Fire Tony" in Chicago.
Oh, geez.
So we'll see how that one plays out. I mean, Susan, you know, injuries are an excuse for any team. You can talk injuries. I mean, Mookie Betts is out, right, for the Dodgers. So Manny Machado, Padres, right? Everybody's got injuries. Tatis has been out for the Padres all year, but. If you look at the Giants, do you look at the return of a Jacob Junis, a Brandon Crawford, a Luis Gonzalez as just that's the fallback answer? Like, well, we'll get better when those guys come back.
I think they need to add a piece. But, yeah, those things will help. You know, Crawford has been beat up. He has not been right pretty much all year. You like to see him come back. Is he going to be what he was last year? Probably not. Could he be closer? That would be good to see. That'll help. They really need to start eliminating the mental mistakes. Gabe Kapler's brought that up several times recently, the mental mistakes. What do they do with Luis Gonzalez when he comes back? He was their best hitter really the entire time he was on the roster, certainly the most consistent. There's not really a spot for him to play every day now with Lamont Wade back. So, you know, they've had more than their share of injuries. That probably winds up getting resolved with an injury like every other roster question they seem to have this year. Junis is big. He was so good, kind of like Gonzalez when he was on the roster. He might have been their best starter, and he's coming along really quickly. And I, you know, they said grade 2 hamstring. When you hear grade 2 hamstring, you think that's 6 to 8 weeks easily, and it looks like it's going to be less than that. So maybe it was more like is there a 1.5 grade strain? He seems like he's coming along. You do not want to set back with a hamstring because that can be much worse. So they look like they're being cautious, but that could be big. If he comes back at all pitching like what he was doing before he got hurt, they're in good shape with their pitching. They really are. They could go to a 6-man. You know, if they continue to have some underperformance at the back end, or if Di Sclafani keeps, you know, looking like maybe he's not quite right, they can, long man, give him more rest, who knows. So I think the pitching really is not as much of a question as they need better defense and a little more consistent offense. And I'm not sure that's necessarily what they get just off the IL unless Crawford really turns it on.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. The storm clouds have gathered in the last, May and June were not what they wanted. So July starts. See, you have all the analytics, Susan, with Farhan and Scott Harris and all the analytics. And then you go the old school thing, says, hey, it's a new month, baby. It's a new month. Our mojo's going to change.
No.
Sometimes.
No. No, that's not us, guys. When you're a team that's 12-12 against clubs that are 500 and below or whatever it is they are, you're just not, last year they went 72-27 against teams that were at or below 500. You got to beat up on those teams. They're
right,
not.
Right, yeah, right.
Playing down to those teams. So we'll see what Tony has in store for him. All right, Susan, always enjoy the Friday check-in. Well, are you covering the games this weekend? Are you around?
I am off. Ooh. I am heading to Monterey.
Ooh, we got to get your schedule. Yeah. We got to get Susan's schedule.
Enjoy Susan that ocean air, man. I love it down there.
All right. Do your thing in your home turf. Say hi to Christine. You're going to see Christine, I imagine, right?
I am. Hanging out with my girl Christine all weekend.
Well, say hi to her for me, okay? All right.
I will. Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
See off you Susan. Go, Susan Slusser, the San Francisco
I want to go to Monterey, too.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Send me to rehab, though, so. That's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.